You're listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio and People's Internet Radio, focusing on solutions and thinking different.
Hello and good evening and welcome to Circle of White Light Radio with myself, Alan James. It's the 17th of April, 2022. Happy Easter to everybody. We're having a bank holiday weekend with Easter. I hope you all had your Easter eggs. And I've seen an actual picture of a bar of chocolate with IKEA on it, a flat bar of chocolate with IKEA, i.e. flat pack, make your own Easter egg. I thought that was very good. One of the memes on Facebook. Right, okay. Now, don't you just love all these energies that are going on? Not. Definitely not. I'm not happy with the energies, what's going on. It's just unreal, the amount of people are that have been telling me about what they're experiencing and how they feel with these energies. So you know, I hope you're all feeling it. You know, a lot of people are kind of very frustrated. It's just like, I've had enough of this. I've really had enough. I'm not playing this game anymore. I'm fed up with the deep state. I'm fed up with what they're doing. That's kind of the feeling people are having, you know. So we're going to have a bit more information later on in the show about that. Now, my guests on the show are a couple, Angel Rose and Ahanu. Now, when I first met Angel Rose and Ahanu, we went on a Pain Genie training course to learn about the Pain Genie. And obviously, they have been on Open Your Mind Radio as well, a couple of times as well. And it's been a few years since I've actually interviewed them, had a chat with them. So it's great having them back on the show. And in a few minutes' time, I'll be bringing them in and we'll have a chat and we'll have a catch up and see what they've been doing. For now, let's find out what the communication channels are.
The communication channels are email, contact us at circleofwhitelight.com, by phone 046-927-1212, or sign up to our newsletter via our website at circleofwhitelight.com.
Okay, folks, you know the website, circleofwhitelight.com, also circleofwhitelightradio.com, and you can find us on patreon.com/COWL, or if you want to support us, PayPal is also on the website there. We have t-shirts available. If you want a t-shirt, €10 plus postage and packing. If you want a t-shirt, just email me on contactus@circleofwhitelight.com and we can sort it out from there. Again, a big thank you for your donations. We are deciding on what we're going to do with the donation for this month. You know that we have a paid forward appeal on the website, and every month with the donations that come in, we allocate that donation to a worthy cause like a community group, a homeless charity, and bits and pieces, you know, any groups that we think might need it. If people want to go over to the website and click on the paid forward option in the menu, you'll see a list of organizations and community groups that we've donated to since December 2019. And I think the total now is up around €12,000 that we've donated to worthy causes, homeless charities, suicide charities and stuff like that. And that's all thanks to you and your support and your help. Thanks for doing that. So we'll decide again this month where the donation is going to go. So we'll keep you posted on that. Right, okay, just a couple of things that have been in the news. Now, there's been a new documentary came out during the week called Watch the Water. And it basically says the pandemic continues, but its origins are still a nefarious mystery. How did the world get sick? How did COVID really spread? And did the satanic elite tell the world about this bioweapon ahead of time? Dr. Brian Ardis, which is, he has a website there, ardisantidote.com, has unrevealed a shocking connection between this pandemic and the eternal battle of good and evil, which began in the Garden of Eden. In this, Stu Peters Network exclusive director, Stu Peters, award-winning filmmaker and executive producer Lauren Wick, bring to light a truth Satan himself has fought to suppress. Basically, it's all about they just said that this actual COVID was got to do with snake venom. But I'll touch base on that in a minute. I think people need to watch it and then, you know, decide for yourself. you know, use discernment, but decide for yourself. Because when it first came out, I thought, God, this is really interesting. But it turns out that Dr. Artis is a chiropractor. He's not an actual medical doctor. But in America, you can be a doctor if you're a chiropractor. But in Europe, you can't. You have to be a medical doctor to get the title doctor. And then people were questioning, you know, the whole documentary. But I'll get to that in a minute anyway. But just for things that happened my week, I'm glad to say I'm finished now with my dentist visits. But I am going out to lunch with my dentist during the week. We've got lunch booked in for this week, and it's my turn because when we went out to lunch the first time, it was he paid the first time. But it's great that, you know, I have an open-minded dentist that we can chat about things, and he was very curious about the stuff that I do on the radio show. So we had a great chat. So it's great catching up. Now, as I said, I'm going to mention this documentary because it just flew around the internet and everybody started watching it. And the interview that came out, as I say, was with a chap called Dr. Artis about the COVID being related to snake venom. The camp is divided on this, as one side feel that it's correct and the other side feel it's controlled opposition feeding us disinformation. I guess you have to watch it and make up your own mind. So the best thing to do is, if you see the documentary out there, go and watch it and then see what you think yourself. You know, there's logic in there, but is it true? I don't know. Again, you know, make up your own mind, see what you want to do. Now, very important this week, Kim, as you know, Kim Guggen from the United News Network, and you know Kim's been on the show and you know her background, I won't go into that. But Kim announced on the United News Network during the week saying that the positive timeline that she talked about, which we could have gone on, we could have gone in one direction or another, is now confirmed. We are now on the positive timeline. Okay? So if Kim and the team's calculations are correct, the burst of light on the 21st of April, next Sunday, will actually create the opposite effect to those that have chosen the dark. Now, Kim is aware of putting out dates, so I asked her if this was something that was locked into the positive timeline that the deep state could not do anything about, and she said yes, hence why she's confident about the date. What will we feel? I don't know. Let's see what happens. There is more to this. I'm only giving you the highlights. So if you want to know more about this, what's going on and this kind of burst of light that's going to happen next Sunday or around that time. So I went on YouTube and I start looking at other people who were tuning into this energy. And a number of these people who are tuning in are all saying the same thing, funny enough. So they're all picking up on something going to happen. They said April is going to be a major month for energy change, and this is going to be the shift we need to remove the cloak, to waken people up, for them to see what's going on and to realize what's happening. Now, again, I'm not going to commit to this because at the end of the day, you know, this has happened time and time again and things never happen. So I don't know. We'll see what happens anyway. I'm just putting it out there, but let's hope that's the case, because as I said at the start of the show, a lot of people are feeling peed off, fed up, annoyed, just really, really, you know, I've had enough kind of thing. And we talk about the two different trains leaving the station. You have the I don't want to get woo-woo, but you have the 5D Ascension, and then you have the 3D Eastgate, Westgate, we've talked about that as well, and Yellow Rose of Texas, which is on YouTube, she mentions and talks about this in detail, about the flow and energies and people, you know, ascension symptoms. Now, let's see what happens. That's all I'll say. Let's see what happens, because you never know. You never know. We commit to something and, you know, it doesn't happen. So I'll just sit in the fence and I'll be an observer like anything else, because what can I really do about what's going on the celestial level? Nothing much. I can't really do anything. So I'm just going to observe and kind of meditate, stay balanced as much as I can, and just ride the wave. You know, that'll be the best thing to do. Okay, now, as I say, my guests are Angel Rose and Ahanu, and they founded the World of Empowerment on 11/11/12 and relaunched it on 2/11/22. And the website is worldofempowerment.com. The World of Empowerment, WE, is a loving learning centre, a place of practical spirituality for an awakening world. It is a portal to personal power for all people desiring to expand consciousness, achieve self-fulfillment and grow in awareness in this time of great change. Angel Rose and Ahanu are the authors of over 100 books in the Answers from the Akashic Records series. The Akashic Records are a database direct from source that answers life-changing questions from each individual's own record of their many lifetimes and sojourns in spirit. Now, going back to the OIM days, I actually did get a mini reading off Angel for my Akashic Records, which was very interesting at the time. Angel Rose has two other books, A Time of Change and The Nature of Reality. These books share the wisdom from the Akashic Records on a variety of topics that allows readers to discover life-changing insights. Ahanu is the author of Reincarnation of Columbus, which is an honest and gripping story of how a man copes with grief and loss and transforms it into personal empowerment and joy. Transformation catalysts and spiritual visionaries, Ahanu and Angel Rose O'Grady, have witnessed their clients breaking free of emotional bondage and observed the light of awareness radiating through their eyes over and over again. This twin flame couple draws on 60 years of combined experience and expertise in self-mastery and ascension mechanics to make a profound difference to people's lives. International workshops including Mastering Your Destiny, Psychic Laser Therapy, Transformational Writing and Akashic Record Training are just a few of the courses they offer. Ahanu and Angel Rose are also popular media guests and co-hosts of a weekly broadcast on World of Empowerment Radio. In addition to being gifted spiritual teachers, authors, speakers and publishers, Ahanu and Angel Rose are ordained ministers in the non-denominational Alliance of Divine Love Ministry, bringing that devotion into everything they do. Ahanu and Angel Rose are often referred to as freedom facilitators, effectively combining spiritual guidance and intuition with eye-opening readings of the Akashic Records. These books and training bring clients into alignment with their soul's purpose and frees them from all beliefs that have held them hostage throughout their lifetimes. Trusted by clients around the world for their authentic down-to-earth approach, Ahanu and Angel Rose are known for empowering their clients and helping raise the consciousness of the world. We coach the love, we design the joy, and we publish beautiful books. Good evening, you two. How are you doing?
Good. Hey, how are you? Thanks for having us.
Thanks a lot for coming on. It's been a long time since we've had a chat. The last time was on Open Your Mind Radio. So it's great catching up. And, I mean, that's a hell of a bio, and that's a lot of work that you're doing to help move people on and to educate people and wake people up. And, well, before we get into what's going on in the world and the things I've said earlier on, how are you two? I know you move from America and you come over to Ireland and you go between the two countries, but you're over in the States at the moment, obviously, with everything going on. So, but what's been happening? I mean, it's been a few years since we've had a chat. How has things been going with you and obviously with this all kind of COVID issue that's been happening?
Well, you know, we've moved around a lot over the last few years. We were living in Bend, Oregon for a while. And then we moved to San Diego, California, because my daughter had two babies and she felt she needed help. So we spent a year and a half helping her with her children, feeding horses, mucking out stalls, so she could cope. And that kind of took the majority of our time. We still did podcast in between that, and I still did readings. But that took a lot of energy. You can imagine two little girls. So we spent that, and then her hubby got promoted to Big Sur, California. So we moved to Prescott, Arizona. We're now living with a very good friend of ours. Beautiful little city, you know, lovely temperature. We got a big, huge mound behind us, which Ahana walks up in the forest every day and talks to the mound. So, and now we're just really getting back into our work full force. We don't have any interruptions. So that's what we've been doing.
Fantastic. Well, keep busy with grandchildren. And tell me, obviously, you haven't been back to Ireland. You just said before they we went live there that you haven't been back, obviously due to COVID.
Right, because the travel restrictions were a little too much for us. You know, we're not vaccinated. We don't plan on being vaccinated. And as long as that was a requirement, we weren't going to go back.
Yeah, but I just have to pop in and tell you our experience, though, Alan, if you don't mind, because we arrived in Ireland, I think it was the 12th of March, and within a week, everything was locked down. This is 2020. But we were staying with some people in the center of, close enough to Newbridge, and they were living on, I think, 20 acres or something like that.
50.
How many? 50 acres. So it was, we were isolated in that sense, but it was like being locked down in heaven because the weather was glorious. The people around us were marvelous. They weren't into the vaccination belief system.
We didn't stay away from each other.
And we didn't stay away from each other. So we had a wonderful experience and nobody contracted anything. And, you know, we carried on our work and that was a beautiful thing. But what was interesting was because Angel Rose is a US citizen, and you know how there's generally a 3-month visa limitation on people traveling into staying in Ireland. So we kept calling the immigration people in Dublin and they were saying, oh, look, don't worry about it. You know, everything's locked down. There's nobody working. We're not going to come chasing you. So don't worry about it. And then 4 months went by and same thing, 5 months. So we ended up staying 6 months in Ireland without any issues at all. And all in all, for us, it was a wonderful experience. But we were glad to get back to the United States because, interestingly enough, the climate was changing. People were realizing that all this was all a nonsense and there was some underlying deceit going on. And to give you an idea of that, just this last Christmas, for example, here in this city in Prescott, there was celebrations out on the streets.
And tree lighting.
The tree lighting ceremonies before Christmas. And there must have been, I don't know the exact numbers, but there must have been a couple of thousand people, like it used to be in the old days, all close together with their deck chairs and their families and celebrating. And the wonder and the joy of people being together was something that we didn't realize how much we missed it. And that, for us, was the biggest crime of the last couple of years, you know, people not being able to see their own families, not being able to go to funerals, not being able to go to weddings. And that now, thankfully, is all changing. And as you said in the introduction, people finally are waking up to it. And that's a good thing. So I think we're coming out the other end of it. Although, having said that, we also are aware of criminal minds in action that want to jeopardize any return to family life and closeness and togetherness and joy and happiness and freedom.
Okay. And how did you feel about it when all this started kicking off? Did you suspect something straight away or did you, you know, like there was a kind of time, I think, even for me, I thought, is this true? Is it not true? What, you know, is it going on? And then obviously you start kind of reading into it and you realize that actually this is kind of part of the plan. But was there any time that you felt the same way?
Yeah, we suspected it from the beginning. Now, that's not to say there's anything different about us, but only Angel Rose with access to the Akashic Records. It's a wonderful thing to keep an eye on the bigger picture. So that was a great benefit that we had. But also there was things going on practically where you could see through it. Like, for example, when they were saying things like, no more than two people to a car and this kind of thing, but yet you'd see policemen driving around and there'd be four of them in the car and stuff like that. You know, so there was suspicious things that just didn't add up. And the more of those things that didn't add up, the more we were realizing that, like, people were just accepting this kind of dictate without questioning. You know, it was like that old maxim that you often hear, you know, about controlling people when they say, do this what's it the way it said?
Do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah. And jump and all the people say, yes, sir, how high, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It was one rule for us, another rule for them. And they were constantly breaking the rules, but they were telling us that we had to follow the rules. I totally agree.
Right.
And it got ridiculous at the start of it where, you know, the police were out on the road and you could only travel 5 kilometres. Well, I live 10 kilometres away from my local shop, my big shopping you know, centre. And I said, and, you know, I said to the, I rang up the police, you know, I was just curious to see what they'd say. And I think I rang them up and I said, but I live, I'm out in the country and my shop is 10 kilometres, but you're saying 5. And he said, actually, that's okay. And I said, but you, the law says 5, you know? I just wanted to see what they would say. And so it got ridiculous and it got silly. And then people kind of, you know, read into it. Now, you know, again, something did go around because I had a family member that did get affected by that long COVID, right? So, and that was... this person was actually having physical symptoms of breathing issues and stuff like that. So there was something going around. There wasn't a kind of fake thing. Oh, it wasn't just the flu. There was something going around because I seen this with this this relative.
Here's the thing, Alan. You know, there's nobody wants to go into denial about anything that's happening. And in that way, sure, there's viruses going around all the time. And there's also biological experimentation happening in various countries around the world all the time, too. So we're not in denial about these kinds of things being released either accidentally or on purpose. And, you know, we've had situations in our own family, too, where people are affected physically by these things. And but it's the response to it that we're talking about.
Yeah.
It's the use of power and control and the interference with our personal freedoms. That's where we try to look to see what's going on.
Yeah, no, totally, totally. It's how you're going to deal with it. And again, I just found that maybe it's just my view on it, but I kept a very high vibration with things. I didn't watch the news, and I still don't listen to the news. I don't listen to the radio, and I just went about my life as normal, as if there was no virus. And, you know, I mean, and a lot of people did the same thing that I know. They said, look, I just carried on with my life. Yes, there's one or two restrictions there. But when I kind of did the survey and I asked people, it seemed to be that the people who were outside the matrix seemed to be getting on okay. It was the people who were inside the matrix seemed to be panicking and worrying and stressing and all that kind of stuff.
That was what was enlightening for us, is to see how many people just blindly obeyed without questioning, even when there was evidence that showed up in their own lives after getting vaccinated and how they were sick or they were losing their memory. Or in the case of Ahanu's own son, came down with Guillain-Barre syndrome after being vaccinated. And you ask them if they get the connection between that and the vaccine. Oh, no, you know. Just complete unawareness that there's a connection there. In fact, my daughter's own mother-in-law, after being vaccinated with the boosters and all, got COVID, pneumonia 3 times, and then she got full-blown COVID. And all she would say was, well, could you imagine how awful it would be if I wasn't vaccinated? And we're like, are you kidding me? So, you know, it's obvious. People with heart problems, I mean, Ahana's brother has lost his memory. It's just not a good injection because we really don't know the extent of it. And I do know from being in the records that 5G network triggers pulses of this. So, you know, it makes people more vulnerable to it. So it seems to me every time there's a new strain, you know, I would comment to Hanno and I'd say, well, they ramped up the 5G or they did some sort of pulsing to cause that to happen. It wasn't a natural occurrence.
Yeah.
So you look at that and you're like, what's going on? And, the only conclusion you can come to is they just really wanted to dumb people down, dumb down the DNA so they wouldn't wake up and get rid of a lot of people.
Yeah. Again, the Georgia Guidestones, the whole idea of bring the Earth down to a population of 500 million, which is, you know, still their plan to kind of depopulate. Now, I said last week on the show about people, if you wanted to check, there's a Bluetooth app on Google Store and you find my Bluetooth device. And I told people about that last week. And I have it on my phone. And just out of curiosity, I switch it on every now and again. And I am surprised at the amount of MAC addresses that come up in locations that you wouldn't expect so many MAC addresses. Because this injection, you know, what they're saying on the internet is nanotech. And if it is nanotech and it's related to, you know, that 5G can do something with it, the graphene oxide, which is in the actual vaccine, and if it is related to these, does a MAC address on it, then obviously then that's very, you know, very curious. And I just did it as an experiment, but it's interesting.
Yeah, but, you know, the other side of that, if you want to go to the positive side, is what source told me is that we had to remember that many people have decided to leave the planet at this time. In other words, they don't want to go through this whole cleansing process that we're in right now. They contracted to leave ahead of time. So we have to respect the fact that some of these people who are leaving, this was their program. This was their contract.
Yeah, and I think April, they said April is going to be a big year, a big month. I keep saying year. April is going to be a big month for people moving over, which, you know, again, we have so many energies, which we're going to get into in a minute. But what I want to do is, for people who don't know what the Akashic Records are, can you give us an explanation as to what they are and how you read them?
Yeah, basically the Akashic Records are a database of all creation. I mean, there's a plane in spirit where everything is recorded. In fact, everything we do is recorded in every little minute detail. It's some function of the universe that whatever happens gets recorded. And it's not just people's personal lives. It's really the history of creation and everything that's happened in creation. So, you know, I learned how to read them consciously. I went to a class with these two women because I used to get into them periodically in meditation. I would just find myself in the records and it'd be a past life of myself that my guides wanted to show me for a particular reason, but I couldn't get in consciously. So I took this course and it was basically a very old Mayan prayer that got translated into English that you'd say to get in. And then it was a whole different vibration entirely. You know, it took me a couple of weeks to get used to it because it was unlike any kind of energy I'd ever felt. And I just started doing readings with people through the records instead of tarot, for example, because they were a lot more holistic. They were, you know, they went into the deep soul level of people and answered things from a much different perspective, a holistic perspective. And what I realized is everything is ordered. Everything makes sense. So, but really, I just call it the database of creation to make it simple for people.
So basically, they are keeping a record of everything that we do. Is this kind of predetermined information? Is this predetermined our life path that the with the records, or is it a case that it's recorded as life goes on?
You know, I think both are true, because I think that you do come in with a particular intention of what you want to accomplish in a lifetime, and that's usually called people's soul contract, but it's not an absolute, like you don't have to fulfill that. That's what your soul would like to accomplish for its own growth, but you can change your mind in your current life about anything you want to. There's no hard and fast rules, so both are true. Some things are destiny, like Ahana and I meeting each other, we knew it was a destiny because it was arranged by spirit. The way it all happened, we didn't consciously intend or create any of it, but it was carried along with a momentum that obviously was organized by spirit. So in that case, I'd say we had a destiny to meet this lifetime.
But there also involved the choice along the way where you one or both of us or either of us could have said no at any point in time. So that's what's wonderful about our own minds and the human creation, is that you are able to make choices all the way along the line.
Yeah. You know, I question the kind of free will thing to a certain extent, because I've spoken to people who looks at this, we call it a quantum program, an advanced quantum program. And there's glitches in the matrix and all that kind of stuff. And then if you ask yourself, if this is a very advanced quantum program, like the SimCity computer game in the 90s, then that means that our lives are predetermined. Yes, we have free will, but we only have free will to a certain extent, all the free wills are predetermined. Now, I won't get into computer programming, but that's kind of, you know, that's just one kind of approach to the whole idea of free will and whether our lives are predetermined, especially with the soul contract.
Well, let me answer it this way, because like you, I questioned that also for a long time. And I remember when my children were very small, here's an example of free will. When my children were small, we'd be going on a long journey. And you know the way children would say, are we there yet? Are we there yet? So I'd tell them a story, or well, I'd start a story and I'd say the first word of the story. And that word might be I or we. And then the next one in line would add the next word. So it might be I will. And then the third one might say go or be or into or whatever word they'd use to add to the line. And in that way, we'd end up with a story as we went around each other, the four or five of us in the car. As we went around, a story would unfold that was different with every single word choice that any one of us made. Now, why that was interesting was because we were exercising free will. I could have chosen any word out of the dictionary. The second child could have chosen any word out of the dictionary. And in that way, there was no way of predicting what the outcome of the story might be. But at the same time, though, every time it ended up being a great laugh. Now, why I'm saying that is because no matter what choice we make, it's always the right choice. And in that way, you might be sensing that there's a predetermined outcome to it. But it's really that, if you think of it this way, God only wants our highest heroic outcome out of whatever choice we make. So in that way, there's a predetermined outcome. But in another way, it's entirely up to us. We can choose to go left or right. We can go straight. We can go backwards. We can go forward. So we have the free will at every moment to make choices. The outcome is always good in the long term because we are entirely creative creatures and we have enormous capacity to create no matter what choice we make. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that's fine. I'll just quickly say, people on the chat room, if you have a question for Ahanu and Angle Rose, obviously stick it in the chat with the question on the front and I can pick it up and we can ask questions in a few minutes' time. Yeah, no, that makes sense. That's fine. It's just different approaches and different opinions. If you get somebody on the show who's more of a scientific background, they'd probably approach it more scientifically and look at it that way rather than more on a kind of spiritual level. But as you say, we have, the way I see it is that we have a soul contract, and again, you have a choice whether to follow that soul contract, and there's certain things in that timeline of the soul contract that have to happen because they're your lessons that you have to learn. And if you don't learn from that lesson, it gets given to you again in another way until you learn from the lesson. And that's the whole idea of how you learn and develop and move on and go to the next life. Now, that's my understanding, but that could be wrong. I mean, I'm open to changing my mind if there's a different way of viewing it and, you know, seeing it.
No, I am somebody who, from reading so many people and them asking about particular people in their lives, and you look at the past life relationship with people they ask about, and some of those people were benevolent and some of those people were not. But it's all about resolution. It's all about completion. It's all about what you didn't accomplish before. Now you get another chance to do it again.
Yeah, exactly.
I do think the universe is set up that way because eventually it all wants to lead us back to home, which I consider God's loving nature and our own. And that is a process because we are so programmed. We have so many beliefs that are erroneous that don't fit the big picture. We have an inability to love ourselves. We believe in guilt. So there's a lot of stuff that has to be undone before you can arrive at the big truth, which I don't believe that. I do believe there's an absolute truth in the universe, and that is it's a loving universe. It always has been. It always will be. What you self-create is your own personal truth, but it's not necessarily the big truth. So I think everything is really designed to eventually get us home, quote unquote, so that we can know what happiness really feels like. And even in this process now, if I may, you know, I knew what was coming up in 2019 because Hannah and I were driving home, driving from California back to Oregon. And I'm in the car and I'm looking out the car window and all of a sudden everything became black and white. The cars going by were black and white, and I had the sense that I was watching this movie that wasn't real. People weren't real. The cars weren't real. And my whole reality was kind of crashing. And I didn't know what the hell was going on. And, you know, so I went home and I'd look out my backyard and the tree in my backyard would disappear into pixels and then come back together again. And after 2 weeks of this, because everything I thought I knew just disappeared. So after 2 weeks of this, I finally said to Source, you know, what's up? What's going on? And what it said to me was, pick which paradigm you want to live in because the earth is splitting. Now, it didn't say shifting. It said splitting. And it was very clear that there was this old paradigm that we've been living in for thousands of years, which it called the death paradigm because everything in it eventually dies. And there was a new paradigm that was existing here, but we didn't know what it was, that was called the eternal life paradigm. And it was basically saying, choose. Now's the time. Choose which one you want to be in. So, of course, I chose the eternal life paradigm, and suddenly I started having all these memories come up. I mean, every death I ever went through, I was remembering in minutest detail, things that I did with Dad when I was little. I mean, memories I didn't even know I had all started coming up. So I'm like, so what's all these memories about? And it basically said, you know, memories are in your cells. If you want the eternal love paradigm, everything's got to be cleansed. And from that, I knew we were in the deep clean because every reading I had, people were wondering what was going on with me. I've lost everything. My house burnt down. I changed my job. I ended my relationship. I suddenly moved to Australia. We gave away two housefuls of furniture. We just cleaned out everything down to bare bones. And it just seemed like this is what's being asked for, and we're still in it. We're still in this process of cleanse. And everything that's going on in the universe is designed to clean out. So people are leaving because the ones who don't want to go through this process. Other people are staying, choosing the old paradigm, as we've seen with the vaccines. And others are still going through this process of release. And for the first time in our life, when we were giving away a whole lot of things and dropping it off at Goodwill, which is the biggest thrift store in America, there was actually lines, you know, a mile long outside the donation part where people were just getting rid of things. And it was very strange. And so that's what we're in. We're in a big cleanse, and it's everything from your emotional body to your mental body to your physical body. I mean, moving into a new paradigm requires everything has to shift. Everything in your body, everything in your emotions, everything in your thoughts. It all has to come online with Christ's truth, which is really eternal love. That's all that's happening, you know, is eternal love.
Yeah. Can I just say, Alan, real quick, you know, you may hear Inge Rose or myself indeed from time to time mentioning God, or as she just did there with Christ. This is nothing to do with any religion, by the way. So just to make that clear, we're not bound by any kind of belief system. We keep an open mind, like your open your mind radio. This is non-sectarian. So we talk about God, it's creator, it's the creator of all things, all that kind of thing. So we always try to keep an eye on the big picture. So when you hear us using these kinds of words, you know, we don't want anybody to go into a kind of a religious backlash with any of this.
Yeah, no, look, I agree. This is why I always use the word source rather than God, because I just find God has religious overtones, plus the fact that it's limiting of three letters. It's limiting. It's dog backwards. Where source creator, source energy, for me, it's a lot more. It makes it more spiritual rather than religious. So I tend to use the word source anyway. The Akashic Records, very interesting again, the whole, you know, the information it can give you and how you find out about there. But you mentioned there that you got information regarding the splitting. Now, obviously, for people who know Circle of White Light Radio and you go over to the website, what you see are two planets. And you see a 3D planet and you see a 5D planet and the split. And so many people have talked about this Not so much a timeline split, but an energy split. I mean, I'd have to refer to Yellow Rose of Texas because she seems to be on the ball as well with her information. She talks about the East Gate and the West Gate, and we're at this pivotal time where people are now making the choice. As you said, Angel, that people who don't want to go and do the work are passing over. They're selecting to move on. And then there's going to be a choice being made. The choices between the people who want to, you know, get rid of everything and agree that this is a cleansing and for you to move on, because you can't bring it with you. The ego, you can't bring it with you. You have to do the shadow side, get rid of all them negative stuff to move on to these higher energies. And then you have the 3D people who are the vaccinated, the deep state, who just want to stay on that lower timeline at that lower energy. So do you feel that, you know, obviously with everything going on now, that this is where we're at the moment, this is what's happening?
I do feel like that's where it is. And to give you some degrees of this, let us tell you our Chaco Canyon story, okay, because it relates. So here we are in Arizona. Our friend asked us to come live with her, and we wouldn't have chosen this place. We didn't know why we were coming. We just knew we needed a place to live, and she offered it. And so we're here, and I don't know how many times we said, I wonder why we're in Arizona, you know, but yet I'd be called to the Grand Canyon, or I'd be called to some Indian ruin. So this one night, we're flipping around the TV, and I picked this documentary on this place called Chaco Canyon in New Mexico. I'm watching this documentary, and it's about these old ancient ruins, and the Navajo people and the Hopi and the Zuni supposedly lived in this place for many, many years. And I just couldn't get it out of my mind. In fact, every time I looked at it, I got pissed off. I'm like, why am I so angry about this place? And nobody agreed with me. Nobody could kind of get in touch with what about it could have made me angry. So it just haunted me for months. And then we went on a vacation to go visit the grandchildren. We were gone a couple of weeks, and it still haunted me. And I found myself looking up to see how far was it from my daughter in Oregon or Vegas, you know. So anyway, we came back home. We decided we were tired. We needed to come home and rest. And then in the meantime, though, Hanu and I did a couple quantum jumps to Chaco Canyon to see what was going on there. And I'll let him tell you his story about those, because it all led us to eventually go, which is the climax of this thing. But we'll let you tell you.
Yeah. So here's a little bit of background just to put the whole thing in context. And knowing that your audience is Ireland, but also international. But many people in Ireland will be familiar with Uisneach, which is the geographical center of Ireland. So you could draw a line directly down from the center of Ireland and across east-west, and I'll come back to that east-west, east-gate, west-gate that you mentioned a few minutes ago. But okay, if you were to draw this cross through Ireland, you'll find Uisneach in the center. And many years ago, I think it was like 2010 or 2000, yeah, it was actually leading up to that Mayan calendar 2012. Do you remember all that?
Oh, yeah.
That was going on at the time.
Yeah.
Well, we went to Uisneach, and And we do feel that we activated something there, because it had to do with the north, south, east, west cross. It was like four corners of Ireland. And of course, we know it from a historical point of view that you have the four provinces of Ireland that were all meet in that one place in Uisneach. And then, of course, they went on to form the fifth province, where the headquarters of that, where the High Kings were crowned, became the Hill of Tara in Westmeath. Now, the fifth province, of course, we relate that to the fifth dimension. So we're kind of talking about dimensions at the same time as talking about physical places. But these four corners in Uisneach kind of stayed with us for many, many years. So now, right up to the present day, here was Angel Rose being really angry about this location in northern New Mexico, which is very close geographically to the area known in the United States as the Four Corners. It's the only place in the United States where four states meet together. And you have Colorado, Utah, New Mexico, and Arizona. Now, there's nothing there in terms of any buildings or anything noteworthy in that way. It's only a geographical political marker. But it's very interesting that it should also be the headquarters, let's call it, of the Navajo Nation, the Hopi Nation, and the Zuni Nation. And why they would all select that location is because in their historical narrative, they all say those Native American peoples, they say that's where their center place is. That's where they emerged out of in the fourth seeding. And
out of the earth.
Out of the earth, yeah. So why did they go into the earth in the first place, and why did they come out there? Because that's also very, very close to the Grand Canyon where the Navajo say they emerged from. So you can see from this little background that I'm giving you that our visit to Shaco Canyon was connected a lot of dots for us. And so we had to go. And when we went there, first of all, when we did this quantum jump to find out from a deeper perspective what was going on, why we had to go. We always find that there is a tourist spin on these places. And of course, the tourist spin, like in Ishnok or indeed any sacred site, is always that, oh, this place, there was primitive peoples living here, and that's more or less it. They were hunter-gatherers. Well, in our quantum jump, we find that they were not quantum jump. They were not hunter-gatherers at all. These were very sophisticated star people. They actually knew exactly why they were here and what they were doing. And it's like as if they were seeding the earth with particular DNA codes. And then, of course, there was various things happened where they had to go underground. And that's where Native American peoples then emerged out of later in their seedings. So when you talked about the East-West...
You should back up a little, though, because what Ahano's not telling you is that he had the experience of seeing the Illyrian race, the lion race, coming down from the heavens, coming down from, you know, the universe, coming down and looking over Earth and deciding if it was worthy of being seeded or not, and decided that it was. And then we saw the blue avian race come down and help with the seeding. And indeed, in Native American lore, in another location, they talk about the star beings coming and building these quote-unquote apartments for them to move into. Because when we looked at these ruins when we were there, they're so precise, even though they're ruins. The windows were perfect. Their 90-degree angles were perfect. The masonry was obviously high technology. And we clearly felt that the star people came and built these, not the Native Americans. And we thought we were being asked to go there to bring ascension codes to the place because there was talk that it had been shut down many, many years ago.
Energetically
shut down because they were moving into a dark age. So we thought, well, we're being asked to go and activate, bring something back to life. But what ended up happening was this place was so full of the original love's essence from Source. The land was full of it. The environment was full of it. We were just surrounded in this God love that we never experienced before. And it extended out probably 40 miles out from the location in all directions. And it was just the most overwhelming experience. And it was kind of a wake-up call for us because they're saying, the land was saying, we didn't need you to do anything. We wanted to give you this experience because this is what you need to take home to people. This is what it's all about. This is where we're headed. And
it was a question of our expectations, Alan. Like we had preconceived ideas of what we would be doing there. Like we brought our drums with us, we brought Native American flutes with us, we brought
our pipe
and joss sticks,
crystal ball.
And, you know, and we were going to do all kinds of ceremonies and activation stuff there, right?
Yeah.
And it turns out none of it was needed or none of it was asked for. In other words, it did not need anything from us.
But still had the original memory of God Source in it.
It did, yeah. Mm. And it was like a huge lesson in, I suppose, expectation, you know. And the lesson we got out of it was that, you know, we give love by our presence here on Earth, no matter what we think. And that love comes back to us. So it was like a huge two-way street of love flowing over and back from the land, from the environment. The energy of it all was a beautiful, uplifting, beneficial experience, wasn't it?
Well, it was like Source telling you, this is how Source loves you. And there's nothing you can do to change it. There's nothing you can do or not do to change it. this is just the truth, that everything is love unconditionally all the time. This is the only thing going on. And all the other stuff that you've experienced in your life, you know, Source reminded us, you're not what's happened to you. That's not who you are. You know, you're a creation of me, which is love, and this is the only thing going on.
Yeah.
And what it did is it just put us in this perspective of, you know, all fear disappeared, all judgment disappeared, all, you know, the unworthiness that you have about yourself, what you've accomplished, what you haven't accomplished. You know, Source was saying, so what? So what? None of it matters. The only thing that matters is you're loved by the universe. And this is where we want people to return to in their minds, so they stop all the separation stuff.
Totally agree. I agree with the whole idea that we are particles of Source and we have to find our way back. And love is the answer. It doesn't matter what the question is. That's it. That's it. Just the love emotion. That's it. That energy. And if you, I've seen a video where a guy was describing the vibration of hate and love. And, you know, he showed you a scope and he said hate is this kind of very erratic, very fast signal, you know, across the screen. And love is very slow and smooth, you know, very easygoing, easy flowing. And I think that's it. It's that simple, that we are particles of Source and we have to find our way back to Source. And this is part of our journey in and the lives that we go through is to find, you know, go back to love, go back to that high energy. And this is why, you know, I have the two Earths there because of this East and West, because, you know, the Yellow Rose of Texas, you know, one of many people, but she is a person that really talks about the East and West gate. And she talks about this divide, this split, you know, the 26,000 years and 13,000 years is like an egg timer. And, you know, not everybody's going to be on the train to go to the 3D or the 5D East gate. A lot of people who are the vaccinated at the deep state, they're going to be on the West gate train. And that's just it is because they're not ready for. They haven't kind of woke up to it. The frequency is not high enough. And I think that's why we're seeing a lot of people who are now struggling very, very hard with the energies coming in. Because if the energies of the planet are going up and their energy is not going up with it, then they're going to find it very difficult. And as you say, a lot of people are choosing to leave and to move on. So with the energies the way they are now, because there's a lot of talk about April, Angel Rose and Anhanu, there's a lot of talk about April. And I mentioned there at the start of the show that Kim, who I know is tuned into, you know, the higher levels of what's going on, mentioned next Sunday as being a pivotal day for a solar flare or flash that will happen. Now, she didn't say anything about what's going to, you know, that all we're all going to be holding hands and singing Kumbaya or anything like that. She just said that this is going to happen. It's a celestial thing. It has a name to it. It's the six suns or seven suns. One is the central sun and they're all in alignment with each other. And it's just going to be this kind of flash of light. And basically, you know, it will have an effect on the people who are on a negative level. The cloak will come off and then people will start seeing what's going on. There's going to be exposures and stuff like that. So I don't know. Have you read into this month, or have you got anything that you've come across that I know you said before the show Anhanu might have some information that you come across if you want to mention that?
You know, I haven't personally checked into this month. I mean, we live with somebody who reads all kinds of things about like what you're talking about. This is supposed to happen. This is, and I, from my experience with Source, sometimes when I tune in, I can see like doors opening and floods of light coming in at different times. For me, Source has never given me a date about anything. It's fact, it's told me it would never predict any event. So as far as all of that goes, I don't know. I'm like you, Ellen. You know, I kind of watch these things and what people say are going to happen. And a lot of times they don't happen. And certainly a lot of the exposure that's supposed to have been happening and the arrest and all the cleaning up, none of that has happened either yet. I mean, maybe it's happening underneath the scenes, but not outwardly. Mm-hmm. So I just think, too, that, you know, when you say, can people feel these energies, the way I personally experience them is that another thing will come up to my awareness that I have to forgive. And I watch my body and, you know, woke up this morning, for example, aching everywhere. And I also am somebody who went through dizzy spells for 2 years straight, started when we were in Ireland in 2019. And it got more and more intense. And you know, I went to a healer who told me I was having a hard time integrating ascension frequencies. And she kind of cleared some pathways in me. But it has affected my body in very strange ways. And you know, I think everybody's different in terms of how they experience it. But I think ultimately, we're all being asked to let go. And I had to go through a period where I just surrendered. Things I didn't understand, I just surrendered to God and said, look, I don't know the answer. I'm not sure what's going on, so I'm just surrendering. But I do know that it's all a cleansing. It's all a cleaning out so that you can adjust your frequency to higher levels, because that's what's happening. And I think all these light things are bringing the planet into a higher frequency. And, you know, if you can ride the train track, you know, that requires letting go and forgiveness. You just can't hold on to any kind of grievance that you've had in the past. So that's been a whole process for us. Is we do a lot of Ho'oponopono ourselves.
Yeah, it's I do agree. Again, the shadow side. And this is the trouble. People don't want to deal with the shadow side because it's too negative or too much of an issue with that. So they actually externalize. And that's why you're seeing a lot of people attacking people as well because of it. Because right. You have to, it's the death of the ego. We have to move forward. And that is part and parcel of this change. I think there's a lot of people struggling with it. Ahanu said there about energy there a few minutes ago. And I call it the karmic boomerang. Right? You energy, to me, it's science. You put out negative energy, it's going to come back to you. You put out positive energy, it's going to come back to you. Now, one of the things that I'm aware of is to not to create karma. So every day, if I'm doing stuff on a daily basis, I'm conscious of the fact that I don't create karma. So I'm not going to try and put out negative energy out there because I know it's going to come back. It has to. It's the science of energy. So I try and avoid doing that. And that way you don't start having karmic issues, you know, happening. And that's just the way I see it, you know, because we're in these energies at the moment.
Yeah, but Alan, if you listen to what you're saying, you're demonstrating the enormous power of a human. In other words, if your thoughts are creating outcomes, positive or negative, look how amazing that is. Hmm. You know, most people don't realize their own creative power, and they feel the victim to other people's or the victim to circumstances. And that is not what's going on in the world at all. What's going on in the world is an opening up to our enormous creative power. And that is a wonderful thing. When we get a grip on that and we get an idea of how we can have control over our own futures and control over our environment and control over our circumstances, that in itself is forgiveness, because we realize that we are not victims. We never were.
Yeah, but here's the problem, Ahanu. You know, myself and Steve, we did seminars that we spoke at, and we talked about the psychology of the mind and the victim mentality and the child mind and the adult mind. And if we got to the adult mind, humanity got to the adult mind, it'd be fantastic. But the problem is, as Freud said it, people do not want to accept responsibility, because that's to admit that you're wrong or you made a mistake. People fear to be the victim and blame somebody else. And that's a very child mind, ego attitude. And that's what humanity has to do. We have to wake up and we have to put our big boy and big girl trousers on and say, I'm going to be an adult. I'm going to have an adult mind. And if I make the mistake, I'll put my hand in the air and go, that's me. I made a mistake. My fault. But a lot of people don't want to do that, and they want to play the victim. And even Freud noticed that. And he said, for people to take responsibility, it's going to be a hard thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, I've been told by Source to remind people that there is no world, that everything you see, quote unquote, out there is a reflection of consciousness. There's no outside world causing any kind of effect on you. Nothing's happened to you. No matter what you've experienced, compared to your true self, nothing has happened. You're still perfectly intact. You're still perfectly loved by God. No matter what mistake you feel you've made, it's not happened. And it keeps reminding me of that. You know, when I would teach a class, he'd say, well, do you remember to tell people there is no world? Nothing's happened to them. You know, it's just a reflection of mind. So I think even coming to that realization with yourself is that you're creating the picture. And to give you an example, when I was a teenager, the new version of Romeo and Juliet was coming out with Olivia de Havilland and Franco Nero. I don't know if you remember that. And I remember going to see that movie with a boy. And, you know, it was very tragic, of course. The acting was very emotional. The death of the two of them was just heartbreaking. And I came home and I just was inemotional effect of that movie for days. So fast forward a few years to when I'm 19, I had married this boy. And 3 months after we were married, he was murdered. And so I went through all of this loss, tragedy stuff, similar to what Romeo and Juliet kind of went through with their love. One of them lost the other and blah, blah. And years later, I had the awareness. I'm like, did I create that event in my own life because I was so emotionally caught up in the whole feeling of what it felt like to lose somebody? Did I attract somebody in my life who had a destiny to be murdered in this life so I could feel that kind of loss? And I wondered, because even, you know, when you research the Titanic, there was some author that had written a book years before called The Titan. And same picture of the same ship on the cover, same events that happened, you know, hit an iceberg, ship sank, to the T what happened to the actual Titanic. And I found myself thinking, now, everybody who read that book when he wrote it, you know, were they, you know, caught up in the emotion of the book? And here we did create this in our outer reality. So I think it's a bit mind-blowing, but everything that you're emotionally reactive to gets created on some level. And I think, you know, when Hanno talks about the power of the mind, it really is that great. And if you look back in your own life and you think, you know, what of the past could I just have recreated? It's kind of mind-blowing, because then you've got belief systems around it and emotional charges around it. And anything that you still have stuff about like that has to go, because that's the stuff that comes forward.
Right. So, okay. No, I know what you mean. I think we have to be very careful, especially at this time, about manifestation and our thoughts and on where they're going, because again, thought can go out there to the universe and be created, and what we focus our energy on. And, you know, everybody knows this stuff. But I'll tell you what, we have loads of questions coming in from the chat room, so I think we'll kick off with them. And the first one is from Peter, all the way down Australia. And Peter says, the question is, I understand that we all have a record, but do all the planets have an Akashic record as well as Gaia?
Absolutely. Everything in creation has a record.
Okay. So there you go, Peter. Okay. And Hanu, do you want to add to that? Or is that okay?
Well, Angel Rose is the expert when it comes to the Akashic records.
I haven't personally looked into the history of planets, though, Ella. I'm just letting Peter know that, you know?
Yeah, but we do have people come to us quite often, actually, and they're asking things like, where did I come from? Where's my place of origin? And we look to more cosmic bodies and
different star systems
and so on, as opposed to particular planets. But yeah, there's no doubt that it's a reality, and that different races of people display different qualities based on where their place of origin is.
We just haven't checked into each planet personally, but it's a good suggestion, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, just out of interest, I think it'd be good to have a look, see what's going on. Right. Okay. Bluebell wants to know, what are the lessons of the Cabal?
I think what I'm finding is the lesson for everything is forgiveness. You know, first of all, realizing nobody's done anything to hurt us, no matter how sinister the Cabal is. And the truth is, the only thing that'll happen to any of those people when they die and meet their creator is they're going to be met with the same love that we're going to be met with. And all that happens is they get another chance to learn about love. So the lesson from the cabal really is that nothing's happened to you. Forgive it all. Let them all off the hook and get on with yourself, because we're supposed to be becoming harmless people, not judgmental people.
Exactly. And they have their own. I mean, we need the yin and yang. We need to learn. We needed to have the deep state in the cabal. I hate to say that, but we did. And that's how we learn, because we learn by our mistakes and we learn by what people do to us. If we actually came into life and everything was a breeze and there was no issues at all and we were all holding hands and singing Kumbaya, we're not really going to learn much. So we learned an awful lot by the cabal, and that's the way I see it. It's not nice what, you know, the whole setup, but, you know, maybe that was the catalyst. I mean, I know for me, when I woke up to what was going on, I walked in the corporate world, and when the realization kicked in of what was going on, and, you know, the downloads I got and all that kind of stuff, you know, you realize that that was part of, you know, understanding the world and what was going on. So yeah. Okay. Next question from Joan.
It certainly makes you ask yourself, what do you want?
Yeah.
You know, when you're confronted with stuff like this, and the more that comes out about the degree of evil in it and everything, it certainly makes you say, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want for your own life? What do you want for yourself? And choose again which reality you're going to be in, because this is the crux point right now.
Do you think that, you know, the timeline, or, you know, people are making a choice or have made a choice now, like it's now too late? I mean, the choices have been made, or are choices still to be made?
No, I don't think it's too late. I think every moment is another opportunity. You know, it's like it's not over till it's over type of a thing. You know, if you're still alive, you can choose again.
Right. Okay. Because I know, you know, there's a counter argument to that where people are saying, no, the choice has been made and, you know, people haven't got on, they've got on the wrong train. You know, maybe the vaccinated people that got vaccinated, that was the choice they made. They were given the choice and that was the choice they made. So, you know.
I have to interject here. I don't think it's a given that every vaccinated person is going to the downside, because I've also seen people who have been vaccinated manifest these really high awarenesses. So we don't really know how that vaccine is triggering anybody's DNA. I just think that, you know, if you're in a low old paradigm, then it will manifest as illness for you. But if you're not, it can actually cause some really high transformation. So I think we need to be careful about lumping everybody in one camp or the other.
Maybe it's a case, you know, some people got vaccinated, they didn't want to, but they had to for their job. And that's the difference. It wasn't a case of, you know, just the people who are vaccinated, as you say, one camp fits all. That's not the case. There are people who didn't want it, but they felt they had to get it. Otherwise, they couldn't pay their mortgage. So maybe that's the difference there. Okay, question from Joan. Where does your guest see things, example Ukraine? If the powers that be have free will, is the road they took a good choice and meant to happen?
Well, you know, we've heard two stories about Ukraine, you know, and I actually don't know which one to believe, to be honest. I have not a source about Ukraine, but, you know, you've got the camp that says Putin went in there to get rid of all of the biological labs that are connected to America, where they're doing all this biological experimentation, and Putin went in there to destroy those labs. There's that idea. And the other idea, of course, is that all these Ukrainian people are victims. So I'm not really sure what I think about that. I'm only just watching it as an observer right now. So I can't really answer the question. Do you have a thought about it, Hannah?
I do, yeah. My own thoughts about it are that Ukraine seems to be at the divide of East-West, and it keeps coming back for me to this four corners, as it were, the division of North, South, East, West. And Ukraine tends to be central to that whole area. So you do have an element of the population that wants to belong to NATO and the West, and you have another element of the people in Ukraine want to belong to Russia. Now, that's just surface-level analysis. Energetically, I think it's much deeper than that. You have polar opposites going on, as Angel Rose mentioned, about those that think Putin is the great white hope and those that think America is the great white hope. Both are polar opposites. But what's going on really at that level is the atrocious level of propaganda from all sides. And as we've seen with vaccinations, as we've seen with COVID-19, and as we're seeing with Ukraine now, it's just another example of the difficulty people have in deciding what is truth. And truth is not to be found outside. It's going to be found inside. And that's where we refer all the time to our own inner nature. And we look to our own connection with God source for the answers to these kinds of things. And it comes in the form of intuition, inner guidance. It can come through prayer. Mm-hmm. It can come through healing. It can come through many, many different ways, even the people who you associate with. And so, I mean, I know that's a kind of a somewhat vague answer to this lady's question, but it's important because we are self-referral beings. And the more we can rely on that self-referral, the more we're at peace with what we choose. So when, like, I don't feel any fear whatsoever about the Ukraine-Russia issue. And I think that's because I'm in forgiveness about the whole thing, no matter what side is doing the perpetrating. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course, yeah. Well, on a higher level, I mean, this is all part of the plan. It has to be played out, whether it's part of the awakening for everybody else. It's all part of the master plan. I think it's the best way to actually to look at it. Okay, we have another question from Steve from OIM. Steve's in the chat there. And Steve has a question, and he wants to know, are the Akashic Records like a snapshot of an event from beginning to end that does not change, or is it simply a snapshot in time at that exact time period that can change if different choices are made?
Well, this is a good question, and I'll give the example of when I'm on a call with somebody and they want to know if I can erase their records. So let's say they don't like something about the past, their past record, and they want to know, can I erase it? And there are teachers out there who, you know, advertise healing through the Akashic Records, but that's not what I've been told by Source. Source has told me that once an event happens, it's there in the record. You can't change it. It's like you can't just pluck out an event out of time and say it didn't happen. But so in that way, to me, it's a flow. It's a moment-to-moment record of everything that's going on. So what Source has told me, though, is that you can go back and add a new timeline into the record with your imagination. So let's say you don't like something that happened to you when you were small. You could go back to the event and in your mind imagine if it didn't happen that way and it happened in a way you wanted it to, go ahead and visualize that in full detail with the emotion and the feeling. And what you've done now is you've added a new timeline to the same time period. And now it's just a matter of switching tracks in your mind. Which one do you want to resonate with? You know, the old event or the new one you created? You can do stuff like that, but you can't take the old record out of existence.
I'll give you an example of that, Alan. And good to meet you again, Stephen, by the way. Great to hear from you. Just this last few weeks, arising from our visit to Shaco Canyon, I went into a forgiveness of my father. Now, just to paint a very brief picture, my father died an alcoholic. He smoked all his life. He drank all his life. And he was one of these silent drinkers. In other words, he wasn't a violent drinker whatsoever. He would arrive home from the pub. He'd sneak upstairs, go to bed. We wouldn't even know that he was home or he was in the house. He was silent. And in that way, I suppose we felt that we had an absent father. And the consequences of that, of course, they can play out in your lives in all kinds of ways. So I had this memory of him as being inefficient, ineffective, silent, hopeless at interacting, zero contribution to the family, all that kind of thing. Well, arising from our experience of the love that we felt from the four corners that I described earlier on, I started verbalizing my new father. Now, this is what Angel Rose means by going back into the record and creating a new timeline. I began to say things out loud, and it was necessary to say them out loud, was, I thank you, Father, for being the amazing man that you were, for giving me life. I thank you for having control over your habits, not drinking too much and not smoking too much, for interacting with us in wonderful ways that taught us all kinds of things, for contributing to the family, for being the best father that I ever knew possible. And you know what? By the time I had finished that little exercise, I genuinely had a whole new opinion of my father. It's like as if I changed a memory. The one that had the most meaning was now the one where he was completely forgiven. He had forgiven me, and we just had a ball in that time space. And it was a wonderful exercise. So I hope that answers your question about changing the Akashic records.
Yeah, that's good. Well, at least you can update the file. You can't delete the old file, but you can update
yes.
the file.
That's right. That's
exactly what it
is.
Yes.
Yeah, you can't press delete on this computer.
Okay? But you can update it. Okay, that's good. Right, okay, Peter has a question. He wants to know, if humans have an Akashic records, are the records of aliens in the same location, or are there several locations for these records?
Well, I think they're, in a way, it doesn't really matter. Location doesn't really matter. It really has to do with how able your brain is to switch different frequencies. Because like an alien record, for example, might be at a different frequency level than a human record. So like there's times when we would do group sessions where I found, with the prayer, I found myself calling on the universal records if I knew it was going to be subject matter that was going to go into the universe, with the awareness that there was a universal record that was a different frequency band than, let's say, somebody's personal record. So I don't know if I would say different places. It's more like different frequencies. And your ability just to tune into that is really what allows you to read different histories.
Okay.
Does that answer it for you?
Yeah, I hope that's okay for you, Peter. I hope that answers the question. Well, another question from Steve, and Steve wants to know, is the world splitting, as in from nuclear weapons, or splitting like a cell in the womb?
It's splitting like a paradigm split. In other words, not by a nuclear weapon or anything like that. It's more, if we really need to understand that the paradigm we've all been living in for thousands of years is a death paradigm. And it's easy to see if you just look at what happens here. I mean, everything's temporary. Everything dies. Sooner or later, your loved ones die. You die. Everything is designed to die. Okay, so that's one paradigm that's been a complete paradigm we've all been living in. And it's in our brains. It's in our cells. We're coded for death. Okay. But the new paradigm is entirely different. It's an eternal love paradigm, which is this never-ending expression of creation and goodness. How that'll manifest physically, I don't really know. It could be a pole shift. It could be some event like you're talking about that's supposed to come up next April where this flash of light comes in and more cells get activated that are aligned with God's source energy. Can manifest in a lot of ways. I don't think it's going to be a nuclear war, though.
Yeah, I can't see that happening. I just have a lot of faith in maybe universal, on the universal side, that nukes are not going to be allowed to happen. And, you know, reading books like Only Planet of Choice and one of many other books out there, people who've tuned in have said the same thing, that they're not going to let that happen. Not now, not in the current situation, the way things are, you know. So I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, there's been a lot of ET interruption and those sorts of things too, even with missile testings and all sorts, you know.
Yeah,
they debunked the missiles. So I think that's true. I don't think it's going to be allowed to happen either.
Yeah, I don't think they'd let that happen. Okay, next question from Joan. What does your guest think about the wonderful place of Clonmacnoise?
Here's Clonmacnoise.
Yeah.
Yeah, Clonmacnoise. We visited Clonmacnoise, I think it was round about 2012 or thereabouts too. And it's Angel Rose says she doesn't remember, but I'm going to remind her now. So you have the Round Towers of Ireland, and a lot of people believe that they were designed to protect the monks from invaders, and that they would climb up on their ladder, go through the little door, and then pull up the ladder afterwards and be safe in there from the marauders. Now, in Clonmacnoise in particular, apparently there was they burnt the people who were inside the tower. There's evidence of a fire being inside, and when
poured
we were
hot oil down the tap,
they poured hot oil into them, burnt them out of it, and it was a very distressing place to visit from that point of view. I remember Angel Rose being very upset by the memory that was in the land. The memory of that area was palpable, and it wasn't very supportive. It was quite negative. So Clonmacnoise, but here's the thing though. When we look at things from a different point of view and open our minds, like Open Your Mind Radio, then we can see that perhaps these round towers had a different purpose, because they're very like antennae. They're very like aerials of one kind or another. And they're usually also built in particular places on the Earth's grid, as we know from our own experiences with sacred sites. These people were very sensitive to Earth energy. And that's why a lot of churches, when St. Patrick came to Ireland and when Christianity took hold, a lot of these churches were built on these locations so as to usurp the Earth energy and to control populations and so on. Now, that for a lot of people, that may seem way out there and weird, but it's my understanding that that's what Clonmacnoise and a number of these other ancient Christian sites were, and what their purpose was. But again, we're now at a point where we can choose to, let's say, change the timeline, put a new meaning into these things, forgive that old negative connotation that we attach to these things, and see that these things may have a very positive potential, very positive outcome. And that's what I choose now with a lot of these places, and with Christianity, or indeed any religions that seek to control people.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah. Okay, next question from Peter. Question: can you tell me anything about Moldavite that is all over the southern part of the world? From a huge UFO that exploded in space, the UFO was made from crystal, brackets, Moldavite.
Yeah, I haven't looked into Moldavite, and I'd have to go into the records to read that, Peter. So that's a to-be-continued question.
Okay, that's for part two.
I'm aware of the gem. You know, I know what it is and everything, and I know it's an ET type of mineral, but I haven't really looked into it personally.
Yeah. Okay, we'll put that down for part two. Okay, Steve wants to know, what are the guests' thoughts on transgenderism, and do they believe it is a real thing or a man-made construct?
Personally, I think it's a result of being biologically confused and messed with. I think that the powers that be are trying to really distort the male-female energy in people. I don't think it's natural. I don't think people are born transgender. I think you're born the sex you were born for a reason, whatever lessons you have to learn in it. And I personally just don't think that it's a natural thing.
Yeah, my own thoughts on that come, in a way, come full circle, because when you talked about Aries in the beginning, you spoke about April, and the 1st of April traditionally was the first or the beginning of the year. And Aries is the ram. It has male characteristics. And why I'm bringing this up in answer to the question is because when we first began our discussion here today, Angel Rose and I, we popped into the Akashic Records to see what we could possibly contribute from a love perspective. And one of the things that I saw very clearly in the beginning was that there is a distortion in the male makeup, let's call it, that is radically changing at this point in time. Now, that could be the tendency towards male domination and towards the divine feminine coming back into its own power and creating a balance. And if that's the case, that's fantastic. And that might manifest in some people as having more of a feminine quality in them, in their physical body as well as in their mentality. And that's probably what a lot of people are confused about in their makeup, or what they're trying to reconcile with in their own heads. And the reason why also I'm bringing it up in terms of kind of coming full circle with it, because Aries tends to be masculine. And the other thing that I found about that particular look into the Akashic records at the time was that it looked like there was a punch to the side of the male aspect. And that punch to the side was, it seemed like, I'm trying to put into words an energetic impression that I got. It was like taking the wind out of the male aspect.
Yeah.
And does it make sense what I'm trying to get at? So in answer to the question, I think that it's like the male needs to be kind of the wind needs to be taken out of the sails of the male, and women, in terms of a divine feminine power, needs to come up into balance. And it was the case thousands of years ago, of course, as we know, and it was certainly the case in Ireland in mythology and in culture, where we had the likes of Queen Maeve and Grainne Mhaire and various other pirate queens and that kind of thing. So there was great respect for the divine feminine in Irish culture, and the same with Native American cultures and various native cultures around the world. So I think what's happening, to answer the question, is that I think this is part of the cleansing, it's part of the coming into balance, and people maybe finding it in themselves as a confusion of their gender.
I think there is. Yeah, go ahead, Angel.
If I could just add to that, I think we have to remember that the shifts that's going on and the changes that are occurring have to do with our inner nature, and our inner nature is coming into balance. It's not about the physical body, and it's not about sexuality. It's about those two forces within us. And I think people are confused and say they want to express it in a different sexuality, and I just don't think that that's where it's at. But having said that, if we were talking to Source about this question, it would just say, so what? I love everybody, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I know that the deep state and cabal are pushing an agenda of demasculating men, and they're trying to swing the pendulum to the far side for women, where it should go in the center and be balanced for both. And I think it's up to people to understand that, to realize it, and then say, okay, right, if this is what they're trying to do, we have to counter that with love and to be aware of it. I think that would be probably the best way to address it. Let me see. Another question from Steve. Are there an infinite number of souls, or are souls recycled, as is suspected in reincarnation? And if the latter is true, can a soul decide not to reincarnate? And if so, where do they go? Do they go home or simply disappear?
I don't think they disappear. I don't think you ever disappear. I don't think you always have to reincarnate on the earth. I think you can continue to grow spiritually away from earth. You know, you can go to different planets. You can have a different experience spiritually. You don't have to reincarnate here. It's a choice.
Yeah, I like Dolores Cannon's comment she made, and she said, obviously, we are a lot of light workers are here to help the ascension process, to help what's going on now.
Yeah,
and she said that the call was put out to the universe, and only the best of the best were selected to come down here to do it.
Thank you very much.
yeah. I said, well, look, if it's, I don't know whether it's true or not, but you know, if that's the case, that's great. It gives you a boost.
So, we've been at this place before, you know, Alan. We've been at this.
Yeah, exactly.
Point
everybody,
in evolution. We haven't always succeeded, so here we are again.
Here we are again. The next mission, and everybody who's listening to the show and on the chat room and everything. If you're listening to the show, then obviously you're one of the light workers and the people selected to be here at this time for this change to take place. Which is a great comment from Dolores. Okay, next question. Hello, Mary P. First time, I think, in the chat room tonight. And Mary P has a question. She wants to know, as I understand, access to Akashic records can give a snapshot like look at one's previous actions, previous lives, and possible timelines, possible futures. But that the glimpse itself is revealed to the person, can it change the outcome, or B, give only one of the possible timelines?
Is she asking Millie if she can change the future? Like if I see something in the records that points to a particular future, can they change that? Yes, they can.
Right. No.
Yeah, if it hasn't manifested yet, you still are at choice about it.
So you can change your timeline by looking at the Akashic Records to see what's going to develop. Have you given the choice of multiple timelines, and then you can choose which one you want to go on?
Well, what it would give somebody is the best choice to make, the best timeline to choose, because a lot of people are headed down a certain trajectory because of their past, or because they haven't, you know, released something, or they're just repeating a history for themselves that might have some trauma in it. So you have choice on, you know, it'll show you where you're headed, but it will also give you a way that you can not manifest that future.
Can I make a little comment about that real quick?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Many people think that Angel Rose and I, or indeed any reader of the Akashic Records, has some kind of strange ability that they don't have. And that's not the case. Everybody has access to the Akashic Records. And here's a very simple way. Now, there is a training that you can go through, and there is that we teach people how to do. But like on a very simple level, it comes down to how do you know that you're making the best choice. And here's a little thing that I do from time to time that was taught to me by my new father. And what he said was, if you have a decision to make about, you know, should I marry this man or this woman, or should I take this job, or should I move to Hong Kong, or like if you've got some big life decision to make, you're basically asking, like, what's the future outcome of my choice? That's what you're asking. And the way to do it is, imagine yourself that you're sitting on your deck chair, and you're retired, or maybe you're in your senior years, and you're looking back on your life, and you're saying to yourself, "Now, geez, wasn't that the best choice I ever made? Or aren't I glad I didn't make that choice to marry him or her, or go to Jamaica, or whatever the decision was?" And it's very simple. But it's very easy. But what you're actually doing is you're actually looking into the future outcome of that choice when you do a simple exercise like that. And so I hope that answers her question about choosing the right timeline. But remember also that whether you did choose to marry him or her, or did choose to go to Hong Kong or not, it's all good. That's the point, because you are always at choice and you are always fully creative.
Yeah, I think you have to be more very in tune, or being more intuitive with your energy and choices that you make, and that kind of gut feeling or that nudge from your spirit guide.
Yes.
You have to be aware of that, you know, because they do give us the odd nudge. We just have to be sensitive to it.
Yes.
You know. Okay, next question. Shane wants to know, question, what do you think about ley lines?
Well, I think they exist for sure. I mean, and I think they make a difference in terms of a place. I think there's some ley lines that have been compromised. An example of that is when we were in Ireland a few years ago, make a long story short, and I won't tell you how because it's a long story, but we were guided to make these water essences from power spots. And we'd be guided to places that we didn't even know existed in Ireland, and for the purpose of making a tincture out of the energy there. And what we really saw is that some places were really, really defunct. I mean, they were really yucky, to the point where we almost didn't do it, because we thought the energy in this place is just terrible. You know, it's been compromised. But we set about to do, I think we've collected over 100 now in different places, and miraculous things happened as a result of doing that whole process. But we put all these bottles of tinctures on the table one day, and because they said they wanted to talk to each other, that these energies hadn't spoken to each other in thousands of years because of different events that had happened in Ireland, where their flow was interrupted or somebody compromised the energy. So I think that they're an intricate part of the earth. I think they're very important in terms of stabilizing the earth. And I do think some of them need some healing work. The other thing we were told is like, well, why are we collecting all this? Because there was a point where they wanted us to ingest some drops of these essences from these places. And what it said was that when an event happens on the earth, it stays in the earth for a very long time. In other words, it's very hard for the earth to process events. They're still there. As people can see when they go to some power spots and they see visions of a battle that went on there, for example, or something similar. But when the human body takes in an essence with the idea that it's going to absorb the essence of the place, learn about it, and transform it, that it happens, you're going to transform the earth a lot faster through the human body. So that was part of the reason we were asked to make those. But I think they're everywhere. They're palpable. You can tell when you're traveling, you know, I remember in Ireland that Hanno and I would be out driving and I'd say, turn left, turn right, you know, and we'd be led to these places where the energy was really strong, one way or the other, for positive or negative. And that all has to do with the ley lines that are going on underneath the surface.
Yeah, I have my own quick story about ley lines, because I never believed in ley lines when I was growing up. Of course, a lot has happened since then, but I owned a beautiful house in Rathdrum in County Wicklow. It was on 5 acres. And I remember this man coming to, we ran a B&B at the time, and this man came to stay in the B&B, and he said, well, before I have breakfast, I have to go outside and walk the land, because I was drawn to this particular place because of the ley lines. And of course, I didn't believe a word he was saying. This guy is crackers, much like people perhaps are saying about us today. But anyway, sure enough, he went out and he walked the land. He came back for breakfast. And how did you get on? He said, well, you are very lucky because you have got a ley line on your land. And of course, I was in total disbelief about this and said, that's just kind of crazy. Anyway, that was the end of it. He left. But as soon as he left, what did I do? I went out walking the land, saying to myself, I have to find this ley line. And I had my nephew with me, and my nephew, I think, was about, he was probably about 9 years of age at the time. And Alan, we walked that land, crisscrossed it over and back, until one point we arrived at this little spot where it was like glue. We got stuck to the spot. It's like as if you couldn't walk past it, or if you did, it was like dragging. You were dragging past it. And once you were gone past it, like 5 feet past it, that feeling no longer existed. And when you walked back to that spot, it was like you were being pulled down into the earth. And we kind of looked at each other and said, wow, do you feel that? Oh, yeah. And both of us felt it. So next thing, the guy comes back afterwards and we said, listen, can you show us where that ley line is? Because I wanted to verify this to myself. And sure enough, he brought us to the exact spot that we had found ourselves. Now he said, here's something. Go walk 10, 15 feet in that direction. And we walked 10 or 15 feet in another direction. And the energy was the opposite. In other words, instead of it going down and pulling you down, it felt as if it was going up. And you know the image of Marilyn Monroe when she was standing on top of the air shaft and her skirt, right? So it was a feeling like that, that this air was coming up from the earth and kind of lifting you up. That was the sensation it was. And again, as soon as you walked a foot or two away from it, it didn't exist anymore. You walked back into it and you had this uplifting effect. So from that moment on, I became a believer in ley lines. Now, it turns out, afterwards, I discovered that ley line was directly in line with a place where in Ireland during the, when the English were crucifying people for practicing their religion. And you remember they used to have these mass rocks and people used to have to hide and perform their religious ceremonies and so on. Well, it was directly in line with a mass rock that further connected to Glendalough, which has its own sacred reasons for why St. Kevin founded his monastery in that particular location. So I'm a believer in ley lines. Yes, they do exist all over the planet.
Brilliant, brilliant. Well, listen, we have a few minutes left. And before we finish up, I just want to find out what your plans are for the future and where you see 2022. What's going to happen for the rest of the year with these energies? What's your thoughts on it?
Well, all I know is I've been guided to make a program for people called Reflections in Consciousness. And the whole point of it is to help people get closer to their inner self, reconnect to their own spirit, and clean out the stuff that doesn't apply. So that's what I've been guided to do. And to me, it's an ongoing project. It's different each month. So in terms of the big picture, I actually don't know. I mean, to me, it's changing so fast. And what do you got your thoughts about how it's all going to unroll this life, this year? I'm not sure. Anything could happen is what I think.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is to realize that we're not in this alone. And that's something that has come up for us big time in the last while. And that is that multiple people all over the world are coming upon the realization that we are divine beings. We are children of the cosmos. We're not just an individual named Ahanu or Angel Rose or Alan or Steve. We're not here alone. We're so connected on multiple levels. And that's why when Angel Rose talked about the eternal love paradigm, it's like our hearts are opening to help others all the time. Always. And that's what our mission is. But how that will manifest in terms of, well, will we run this program or will we do this teaching or will we create this workshop? That is fluid. So we respond to the needs of the people who come to us, really. So I hope that answers.
Yeah, no, that's great. And do you feel that with everything that's going on at the moment, because a lot of people have said to me that they're fed up. That's it. I've had enough. I can't deal with these energies anymore. I can't deal with what's going on. The patience is at the end of the patience, and they just want something to shift, to move, to change, to just for things to stop happening the way they are with the energies. And are you picking up on that? Are people saying that to you when they come to you to talk to you about readings and stuff like that?
Yeah, a lot of people are fed up, but you know what Source always says when you're in a personal reading is, make a different choice, because we're creating the new future. And it's not about judging what's going on and blaming people and getting angry at them and hating them. It's really about, in the big picture, that's not where it's at. So, yeah, they're fed up because they're seeing the ugliness that's been going on, and actually they're being appalled by it. But it's affecting their own lives too. But that just means that that's within them somewhere. So we really have a lot of inner work to do, and that's really what Source wants, is for us to get back to our inner self. Yeah. And not be putting our attention so much on the outer world and what's happening or not happening.
Yeah, and forgive ourselves for it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, to me, the more I kind of understand energy, I try and understand the energy, the more I get kind of sensitive to it. And again, one of the things that I said earlier in the show is trying to avoid karma, trying to avoid creating karma by, again, the karmic boomerang, which I call it. You know, try not put out negative energy as best you can. I mean, I'm only human. I make mistakes like everybody else, but I try and avoid that. And if that means, you know, avoiding a situation because I know it could be karmic, then I'll do that just to avoid it.
Yeah, you do have to really cultivate harmlessness within yourself, you know? No matter who it is or what it is, you know, we have to get out of this desire that whomever will get theirs in the future. You know, we can't be wanting that. We can't be wishing that on the powers that be or the ones that are causing havoc. You know, we can't be saying, well, they'll get those someday, because that's not really true. You know, Source doesn't work that way. In fact, if anything, it just forgives it all.
Yeah.
So I think we have to be harmless in our intentions and in our thoughts.
Totally. Okay, well, listen, we've reached that time. Thanks to both of you for coming on the show. It's been a long time since we had a chat. It's well overdue, so I'm glad we hooked up and we had the chat. And maybe in a few months' time, we'll do a part two. And we look back at this show and go, okay, we talked about this in April. What actually happened? And then we can go over it. But for now, a big thank you for coming on to the show. Can you give out your website details and all the information that you want to pass out there, your radio show and everything else, to let people know where they can find you?
Yeah. Well, we have our Reflections in Consciousness program, and you'll find that on angelrose.com. And that's the Irish word for angel, A-I-N-G-E-A-L roose.com, angailrose.com. My own website where I do artwork and graphic design and publishing and all that kind of thing is at ahonu.com, ahonu.com. A lot of our books can be found, especially the Akashic Record books, are answers from the akashicrecords.com. That's one big long string, answers from the akashicrecords.com. And that's where you'll find our 100 book series of answers from the Akashic Records. And then Anne Gail Rose mentioned about Sacred Earth Waters. We don't have any of them for sale right now, but if you want to just find out about what the process is, you'll find a little video there, a 2-minute video, and that's at sacredearthwaters.com. But primarily, I'd like to point people to a special offer that Anne Gail Rose has for your listeners, and that is to go to angailrose.com, and you'll see an option for Akashic Record readings, and you can choose a 30-minute reading or a one-hour reading. And if you go to the checkout on it, you have to follow a few steps on the checkout and enter the code AR20, AR for Akashic Records, AR20, you will get a 20% discount on readings with Anne Gail Rose. And that's a special offer for your listeners.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for that, Hanu. Thank you for that. And if people want to get that code again, they just have to listen to the podcast when it's up in about an hour's time. And then you can listen to the code and pop over there and then type it in and get an Akashic Record reading. Well, folks, thanks a lot for coming on. Much appreciated. Just stay with me there for a minute. And we're going to go off to a musical break and we'll be back after this.
You're listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio and People's Internet Radio.
There you go, folks. That was Anne Gail Rose and Ahonu. It was great having them on. Haven't spoken to them in a good few years. Last time was on OAM. And they're over in the States at the moment, but they do come over here to Ireland. Great information about Akashic Records and everything that's going on. So that's good information. So I'm just going to be very quick to finish up here. As I say, check out at the start of the show next Sunday, apparently. Let's see what happens with the energy and everything else. It'll be interesting to see what happens. Next week, my guest is a lady called Danny McKenney. Danny's been on the show before. She has her own group and does her own show as well. And she does watch what goes on with the sun. And it's very, very active at the moment. And on her own Facebook posts, she posts up the actual statistics of what's happening in the sun. You know, human frequency and all that kind of stuff and what's happening. So it'd be interesting to get Danny's take on it next week, which is, that's when it's supposed to happen. What's her take on it? What she's seeing? And does it match up to what she's seeing on the screen as well? It'd be good to have a chat with her and have a catch up and see what's going on. She's now living in the UK. She was in Malta, but she's now back in the UK. So I don't think she was in the UK when I last spoke to her. But anyway, we'll play catch up anyway. And see what she's been up to. So that's the news, folks. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks to everybody in chat room for, you know, talking to each other, having a great chat, and all your questions. Sorry we didn't get through to all the questions there. But there's a lot of questions, which is great. So thanks for all the questions on the chat. Brilliant stuff there. And yeah, so that's it for me. Have a good one. Have a good week. Stay safe. I hope the weather gets a little bit better. I hope you had a good Easter weekend. Tomorrow is the bank holiday Monday. And then everything's back to normal. I think people back and work on Tuesday. So take it easy. Have a good one. For myself, Alan James, Circle of White Light. If you can afford to donate, a few quid would be fantastic. And then we'll be actually, part of that goes to a worthy cause, as you know, with the paid forward. But a big thank you for everybody. Positive five, folks. You know, again, the karmic boomerang, what you put out, you get back. Good or bad energy. So try and avoid the old karmic energy if you can. It's the best thing you can do now with the energies that are going on. There's a lot of people talking about the energy this time now at the moment and the energies we're in. If you go on YouTube and just a lot of people who are tuning in are picking up on the same thing. So it's not one person. A whole lot of people are picking up on it, which is very interesting. So we'll just see where it brings us. But positive energy, positive vibes, as best you can. You know, I know it's a hard time to be in. There's so much going on. and so many people suffering, so many people going through this shift that we're going through, this energy change. And I'm no different. I'm going through my own issues, as is everybody else. I'm human. But it's how you deal with it. And I think that's the best way, just to try and analyze and deal with it with the best you can. And stay away from energy vampires. That's one thing you have to do. Stay away from them. And try and be around positive people that are, you know, have positive energy as best you can. So have a good night. Take it easy. Have a good end of your bank holiday weekend. And we'll see you next week. Take care and bye-bye.
You have been listening to Circle of White Light Radio on CircleOfWhiteLight.com, focusing on solutions and thinking different.